a breeding ground for miracles, a breeding ground for the supernatural. We serve a supernatural God. We serve a God who wants to interrupt the natural laws in order to reveal himself as God. Hallelujah. And this morning, we're just going to dive straight into the message. So far, we have realized that there are certain things that you and I need to do in order to position ourselves to be recipients of the supernatural. There are certain things we need to do in order to be rightly aligned with heaven. You see, there is a program in heaven. There are things that God wants to do here on earth. But the question is earth rightly aligned with what's in the heart of heaven? When a family is rightly aligned with the heart of God, that family becomes a recipient of what God is doing on the earth. And my prayer is, Lord, do not pass me by. Whatever you're doing in Hasfontein, whatever you're doing in Pretoria East, in Centurion, Lord, do not pass me by. I want to be part and parcel of what God is doing. Hallelujah. So we are saying we are not just waiting and waiting for miracles to happen. There are things we can do to trigger heaven for miracles to happen on our behalf. Number one, we said, do not be familiar with God. Do not be familiar with God if you are to be in a position to receive what heaven is doing. Number two, ask God for the supernatural. Believe God for a miracle. Are you sick in your body? Let prayer be your first port of call. Yes, you can go and see a doctor, but pray and believe God. Because God will use even doctors. Because I know of people who have gone to doctors, but they've never gotten well. What's going on there? And to us, we need to be a people of faith. Whatever we do it by faith. So when I visit a doctor, I am visiting full of faith. When you visit a doctor, it's not a sign of lack of faith. And I want to encourage you today to continue believing God for your healing. Continue believing God for a breakthrough financially. Continue believing God for peace in your relationships. Because that is what God wants to bring in your life. Number three, be persistent in your request. Let's not be like the microwave generation that wants everything to happen in the moment. Let's be those people who wait upon God until God moves on their behalf. Number four, be willing to serve God. When you serve Jesus, you are in the presence of the miracle worker. You are partnering with him, the one who does miracles. And I want to encourage you today, be that person who says, how can I serve God? Lord, can I be your extension in my workplace? Can I be the one who heralds the good news where I am situated? Number five, be a person who declares life. Command situations to change. Use the tongue for the glory of God. Use the words in your mouth to shape the future that you want. For we know, the Bible says, by faith we know that the world was created by things that are not. The world was created by the word of God. When you read John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And nothing was made which was not made by the word. Therefore, when you carry the word of God in your mouth, you have an opportunity to recreate things for your life. Number six, trust God's ability and God's nature. At some point, I'm going to teach you on the nature of God, the goodness of God. Do we believe in the goodness of God? That he is a good God. He is faithful. Powerful six principles. This morning, allow me to add just two more on this journey of us creating a miracle, a conducive environment for miracles. Let's go to Luke chapter 1 verse 30. I want to read you one of the greatest miracles ever since creation. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1 verse 30, we know the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was busy there doing her life and engaged to Joseph and looking forward to their wedding and to their marriage. And an angel came, heaven came. Yes, heaven came through Gabriel and started speaking to Mary. And we are catching this conversation. The Bible says, and the angel said to her, do not fear. Do not fear, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. When miracles happen, the Lord will give it a name. Give it a name. Hallelujah. You will call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. Can you imagine a 16-year-old girl hearing such profound words? Can you imagine Chennai having a conversation with an angel and telling you, this is what you're going to be. The Lord is going to bring you into a place where you minister to multitudes and multitudes of people. And through you, people receive the Holy Ghost as you lead worship. I'm just saying this. Think about the power that was present when this word was released. And Mary was like, huh? Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how shall this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, girl, it's not about you. It's not about you. But the Holy Spirit shall come on you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One which will be born of you shall be called Son of God. And behold, your cousin. Now he said, no, listen. What I'm talking to you right now, it has already happened. Your cousin Elizabeth also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Come on now, repeat after me. For with God, that is so important that you believe it in your heart. That with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Hallelujah. Now, this is a story that can either bless you or can cause great offense inside of you. You see, for you to be a true believer, you have to believe, you have to be convinced of the virgin birth and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Those two events have got to be so real in your heart. Otherwise, your walk with Jesus is going to be a struggle. You're going to have to defend what you feel is not defensible. Do you believe in the virgin birth? Do you believe in the resurrection of the dead? And I'll encourage you, these are two pillars in the life of a believer. And that those are the two main things that distinguishes our walk with God from any other religion. I'm talking about a virgin birth and the resurrection of the dead. Now, the miracle of the virgin birth, or rather, let me call it the virgin conception, gives us another insight regarding how to access the supernatural. Where do we get this insight from? We have read that all of those scriptures to create context. We get this insight from verse 38, where it says, let it be done to me, let it be to me according to your word. That is insight number 7. If you are to experience the supernatural in your life, you need to be in agreement with God's word. Come on now. You have to be in agreement with God's word. That sounds very fundamental. It sounds a little bit like grade 000 kind of stuff. But I want you to understand, a lot of mature believers struggle with this principle of agreeing with the word of God. When you were young, you believed that you can own a double-story house. You believed that you'd be an engineer, right? You believe that you'll be happily married. You'll have 5 kids. You believed anything. And life happened. You are 31. You are in a one-bedroom house. You cannot believe that you can actually own a double-story house. What has happened here? You have experienced the knocks of life that has caused you to stop believing. And this morning, if we are to see the supernatural in our lives, we need to go back to the basics, to the place where we agree with God's word concerning our lives. What has the Lord been saying to you? Let's not complicate this walk with God. It comes back to the word. You see, Mary had a visitation from heaven through Gabriel, the angel. And the angel brings with him astounding messages. It was a message in my mind that was controversial. A message that was scandalous in nature. Because Mary was only engaged. She was not married to Joseph as yet, legally speaking, which would enable her to fall pregnant. I'm not saying you cannot fall pregnant if you're not married. You can if you choose to. But the desire and the plan of God is for you to fall pregnant after you have wedded your husband. Are we together this morning? Here is Mary by herself, and an angel, a weird being, comes down and tells her, you're going to fall pregnant. Like, huh? And I'm saying to us this morning, there are certain words that we find in the Bible that will make us go, huh? When the Lord Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he said to them, if you believe in me, greater works than these shall you do. Huh? I'm talking about agreeing with God's word. Mary was unknown. Mary had no value in the sight of her community. In fact, no one expected Mary to amount to anything. Why am I saying this? In the Jewish communities, women were not highly regarded. They were not even allowed to be in front here. They were not even allowed to talk in the synagogue. And now an angel comes and places value over a woman. And he calls her highly favored of God. Huh? I can hear some of you saying, huh? To every promise that you read in the word, huh? I can have 10 distinctions, huh? I can own a business, huh? Come on now. I can get married one day, huh? I'm talking about agreeing with God's word. I will live to see my children's children. Huh? Nobody has ever lived beyond 60 in my family. And you are telling me I can go into 80s. Huh? The Bible says, with a long life, I will satisfy you. Huh? You've been sick for a long time. This high blood pressure has troubled you for as long as you remember. And the Lord says, I am the Lord that heals you of all your diseases. Huh? Your child has never passed beyond 60%. And the Lord comes to you and tells you, this one will be a medical doctor. Huh? This one. Nobody in our family has gone through to varsity even to think about being a doctor. That was Mary. Mary kept on saying, how shall this be since I've never slept with a man? How can I fall pregnant? I've never known a man. I've kept myself for Joseph, and right now you're about to mess that whole thing up. Huh? How shall this be since I do not know a man? How shall this be? I've never known peace in my marriage. How can this be? I've never seen positive figures in my bank account. How can this be? I've never seen this church going beyond 50 people.
And you're telling me by end of next year we'll have double services here. Huh? How can that be? You won't be alone. Mary was there. She looked at a natural situation. It was divorced from what God was saying. And many of you seated here, your situations, your realities are divorced from the promises of God. And you keep on saying, how? How? How can this be? The supernatural is your portion in the name of Jesus. The supernatural is your portion in the name of Jesus. The miraculous is your portion in the name of Jesus. We've got to believe the word of God because that is what creates miracles in our lives. Mary was dumbstruck by the words of the angel. And this is the case for a lot of believers. I can tell you now, there are a number of us here who read scriptures and we say it was good for the time of Peter. It worked in the days of Paul. Not in our contemporary environment. Not where I stay. In Moyenklove Ridge. This can't be. Your miracle is in your ability to agree with the word of God. To submit yourself to the authority of the word. That is where your miracle lies, saints. Let's go back to the basics. Let's go back to believing again those scriptures. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above that which we can think or even imagine, according to the power that is at work in our hearts. Glory be to God. Now to him who is able. I will believe it until I go to my grave that he's able. Can you agree with God one more time concerning your situation? Can you believe with God? Can you agree with him and say, because he said it, I will believe it. I will hold on to it. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, oh, hallelujah, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. When you say amen, you say, let it be so. You are speaking the same as, you are uttering the same words, you are repeating the same words as you receive from the Spirit of Jesus. You don't sit back and just say, whatever happens, happens. No, I choose to connect with the power of the word of God until something changes in my situation. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. That is what changes the game. We talk about game changes. That is the thing that changes the atmosphere in your life. Isaiah 55 verse 10. For just as rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return without watering the earth, making it bud and sprout, and providing seed to sow and food to eat, so my word that proceeds from my mouth will not return to me empty. But what will it do? It will accomplish what I please. And it will prosper where I send it. 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 You've got to repeat certain things until they start making sense to you. The Lord is saying, my word will stay. Waiting for somebody to agree with it. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that this church will start agreeing with the word of God, because that word is there waiting for somebody to say, yes, I receive it. I agree it, Lord. Let me tell you something. The word of the Lord came to Abraham when he was 75. And he said to him, Abraham, I have called you. Abraham, leave your mother, your father, your friends, your buddies, and go to a land that I will show you. Because I've given that land to you. and to your descendants. Abraham, I will make your name great, not just for you, but through you the nations shall be blessed. Abraham agreed with the word of God. That is why he is called the father of faith. He was 75 when the word came. He agreed with the word at 80. He agreed with the word at 85. He agreed with the word at 81, at 86, at 89, at 90. He agreed with the word at 95. He agreed with the word at 99. He kept on agreeing with the word because what? The word will not go back void. Ooh, does somebody hear me this morning? How long have you waited for that word in your life? How long have you waited for that promise to become a reality in your life? Do you know what is the difference sometimes between believers and the devil? The devil doesn't give up easily. He keeps on coming back. He keeps on coming back. We have to outweigh him. We have to outweigh him, hallelujah, until the word of God becomes a reality in our lives. Abraham agreed with the word until he said to the father, you know what, I know you don't lie, but look at this body. This body is as good as dead. This body cannot do what it's supposed to do. How am I going to make this woman pregnant? This body is dead. But the Bible says he believed that him who had promised was faithful. I want to say to you this morning, the same way you believe that Black Friday gives us good deals, how about believing that heaven has it all that we need? Hallelujah. There was no guarantee that you walk into game in midnight, you see deals. But people lined up on game waiting for that door to be opened. Ooh, does somebody hear me this morning? Were you there? What did you buy? What did you get? What did you do? You were in agreement. Huh? You were in agreement with the concept of Black Friday. And you're saying, this is just too good for me to believe. If you could believe the promise of Black Friday, you can believe the promise of heaven. Woo! Glory be to God. You can count on God. The problem with Black Friday is that when you start doing your research, you realize it was the same price, but you believed. I pray for you. Don't be gullible. Oh, hallelujah. Let's trust the word. The infallible word of God that doesn't change. Hallelujah. We have the capacity to agree with the word of God. Many of you are married here because somebody sold you a dummy. Like, yeah, when we get married, this is what we will do. We're going to build this. And then you get married, the guy sits back. You're like, yeah, we need to think about that. What happened? You agreed. And I'm saying today, let's choose to agree with the word of God. Because it does not change. Behold, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. You see, the supernatural happens to you when you agree with God's word. The impossible becomes possible when we say amen to God's promises. You need to be honest with the Lord. This does not make sense, but because it's your word, I choose to err on that caution. I choose to just believe it. I wrote here, there are times in our lives where we need to remove logic and reasoning and walk by our heart and walk by faith. The just shall live by faith, not by logic. Thank you, Lord. Last week we read Simon Peter with Jesus there on the boat. Simon Peter had tried to fish the whole night and he caught nothing, but there was the miracle worker in the boat. And Jesus said to him, lower your net for a big catch. And Peter says, because you said it, I will do it. not because it makes sense, but because you said it, I will do it. Talk about submitting yourself and agreeing to the authority of the word. There was a centurion who had a servant who was sick. Somebody knows that scripture. This centurion went to Jesus for help. He went to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I have a problem in my house. My servant, the one I love, has fallen sick. Would you mind coming and healing my servant?" The Bible says, Jesus agreed and said, "Let us go." But the centurion realized, I'm a man full of sin. I cannot have the Holy One in my house. But I know there is a way around this matter. He then said to Jesus, "You don't have to come. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed." Hallelujah. Talk about agreeing with the word of God. "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. But just say the word and my servant will be healed." The Lord Jesus looked at this man and he says, "What kind of man is this? I need this caliber in the kingdom." And Jesus said to them, to everybody, "You know what? I have not found such great faith. No, not in Israel." Because there was a man who understood the power of the word. There was a man who understood that when you have the word, it doesn't matter how long it takes, the answer will come. The healing will take place. The deliverance is a reality. Your financial problems will become things of the past. When I started working back in 2004, my wife and I were always in the red. The month was just too long. It was longer than our earnings. And we had this 4,000 rand overdraft in my Standard Bank account. That's what I could afford. That's what they could give me. Like, hey, based on your income, you qualify for 4,000 rand overdraft. But I would make use of most of it. By the time my income comes, it goes, gone. What happened? But I can tell you now, 20 years down the road, hallelujah, I'm seeing the goodness of the Lord. Glory be to God. I want you to understand, it doesn't matter how long it's going to take, your God is faithful. He is able. He will make a way for you. All you need to do is, let it be done to me according to your word. I'm not going to give you the second one. We'll do that next week. I want us to stand on our feet today and ask the worship team to come. Lead us in a time and powerful time of worship. But as they do that, I want us to pray. I want us to come to that place where we're saying, "Lord, give me that heart of a child." The Bible says, unless you are like a child, it doesn't say unless you are childish. It says, unless you are like a child, you will not experience the kingdom of God. We are talking about being in that place of trusting. More often than not, I'm in trouble with my kids because they take my word seriously. If I tell them I'm going to buy you this, Andrew is on my case until I buy that thing. How about doing that with our Father in heaven and say, "Daddy, this is what you said." You know what I'm talking about, those of you who are mothers and fathers in here. When you promise, make sure you can deliver. Otherwise, you're going to pay for your sins for as long as it takes. How about to be like that with our Father in heaven? And say, "Daddy, you told me. You said you will heal me. I'm still sick here. Daddy, you told me that you'll make a way for me, but doors are shutting before me." The Bible says, do not give him rest until he turns the beauty of Jerusalem around. Oh, glory be to God. Come on, just lift your hands and pray today. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus.